It should come as no surprise that we spend a fair amount of time talking about homelessness on the program. As we heard yesterday, there were more homeless people in Oregon and California in 2019 than a year before, which runs counter to the national trend. In Eureka, a program called Uplift Eureka takes a one-on-one approach, pairing people who need housing with volunteers willing to act as co-pilots. Let's hear more about it. Jeff Davis is the Homeless Services Program Supervisor for the City of Eureka. Jeff, welcome.
Oh, good morning. Thank you.
And Brandy Wheeler is with us as well, Service Coordinator. Brandy, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Jeff.
So, Jeff, let's start with you. This all comes under the umbrella of Empower Eureka. Can you give us an overview of that?
Yeah. So Empower Eureka is a way for community members to kind of come in contact with different volunteer opportunities throughout the city of Eureka. It's not just to help our community members, but also, you know, for different parks and different programs to really improve the quality of lives of everyone in our community.
I should point out that what is now called Community Services was originally Eureka Parks and Recreation.
Yes, it was.
Right. So you've had a bit of an expansion of mission here, it appears.
Yeah, we definitely did. I mean, our department consists of a parks division, a recreation, harbor, facilities, the zoo, and our environmental sciences division. So it was a whole lot more was going on than just parks and rec.
So talk about how Uplift Eureka came to be part of Empower. Where did the original kernel come from, and how did you shape the program from there?
Yeah, so about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when we were still the Parks and Recreation Department, we were really, you know, trying to do all that we could to kind of improve the quality of lives of the members of our community. And, you know, swing sets and kickball only go so far. And so we're kind of looking at really what do the folks in our community really need? What would they benefit most from? And you really can't have a high quality of life if without shelter, without, you know, housing, without employment, without those sort of opportunities. So we started expanding the services and the programs that we offer to include more that that would, you know, kind of social services that would really benefit everyone in our community.
Mm-hmm. And then how did the idea for Uplift Eureka specifically get born?
You know, I think it was a lot of different things kind of happening all at once. We had already put on, so part of Uplift Eureka, there's a lot of different kind of components of it. One of them is called Pathway to Payday, and it's a 4-day job workshop series where folks come down, and it's not really a job fair. It's every day builds off the previous day. We have workshops, we have guest speakers, we have mock interviews, and at the very end of that, or on the third day, we have a real interview. It's almost like speed dating. We have real businesses hiring for positions, and folks that are looking for that, they can sign up for little 15-minute interview sessions. And that was a program that we started about 4 years ago. We also had another like city beautification program. So we had kind of these different components, and then about a little over a year ago, we kind of put them all together, and they're kind of really added more to it, and it's really running very well. We have a lot of great momentum right now. And then it was just kind of looking around and seeing what really this community would benefit most from and where we should focus our efforts.
So the idea of one-on-one, is that something that came from other programs that help people try to not be homeless anymore, the idea that they can stand some individual attention?
You know, I think that's a good question. I think that the co-pilot program kind of was started, I think we had some kind of input from a lot of different folks. We have the Humboldt State University is up here, and we have some contributors up there, some professors and some students, and that was just one thing. We were kind of just brainstorming and seeing what we could do to kind of help the folks with that, you know, that one-on-one, that unique kind of customized support system there. And this was an idea that we kind of tried, and we had such great success with it that it stuck.
We're talking about the City of Eureka Uplift Program, which will put co-pilots and homeless people together to help guide the homeless person back to housing and other services. You can join the conversation on the exchange with Jeff Davis, the Homeless Services Program Supervisor, and Brandy Wheeler, Services Coordinator, at 800-838-3760 by phone. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Brandy, are co-pilots already on board? Has the work begun?
Oh, yeah. The work has begun. We've been pairing co-pilots with participants for a little over a year now.
Okay, so that long then, and I noticed that Eureka's reference tends to be houseless versus homeless. Is there any particular distinction there?
There's no particular distinction. Some people prefer houseless and some prefer homeless.
Mm-hmm. And so how many co-pilots do you have in the program already after the year?
I believe we have 22.
Mm-hmm. And then what kinds of skill sets do you look for in co-pilots? What kinds of things would you like them to have under their belts to bring to the program?
Well, the very first thing is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge, huge thing. No real skill sets required. We just ask that they bring an open mind. And it's the co-pilot's role is basically to be a liaison between community resources and the participant. So we meet monthly, and we're able to tackle problems head on. So if a co-pilot doesn't know of a particular resource or a particular solution, then we're able to meet together and sort of brainstorm and be able to take that back to our participants.
When you say we meet monthly, who's the we in that?
The co-pilots.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the co-pilots meet with the homeless people at least once a month.
No, they meet with their homeless participant once per week in
okay.
for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But the co-pilots meet as a team once a month.
Ah, okay, I got it. All right. So the what happens in the once a week sessions, the hour a week with co-pilot and homeless person?
So it really depends on the participant and what their goals are. Some participants are working with co-pilots to look for housing or fill out housing applications. Some participants, I think a common problem when there are a lot of things to do and there's a lot of goals that need to be met, it's very easy to become overwhelmed and not know how to prioritize things. So a co-pilot often helps with figuring out what's the first thing that needs to be done and then working on smaller goals to try to ultimately reach the biggest goal, which is permanent housing.
Can a co-pilot be a co-pilot for more than one homeless person?
So it's designed for a one-on-one setting. So basically, when a co-pilot is done working with one participant, if they're available to be matched again, then that's how that happens.
All right, but generally it's one-to-one.
It's just, mm-hmm.
Now, I have to believe that, I mean, obviously, if somebody's got some empathy, they're also going to, this could be a frustrating process, I'm sure, because, some people have been homeless for a long time, and it's not something that gets solved overnight. And so I guess I'm only guessing they would be torn between a sense of empathy and a sense of urgency to get things done, but also some reality about the fact that it's not a process that gets solved with a snap of fingers.
It really isn't, and that's one reason our monthly co-pilot team meetings are so important. It gives us the opportunity to be able to process some of that emotion and some of those feelings that goes along with it. It doesn't happen overnight, but, I originally started as a co-pilot, and I had two participants. It was a couple
mm-hmm.
that I worked with, and I believe they got housed after about 20 weeks. So 20 weeks may sound like a long time, and I'm sure during that time it was incredibly frustrating, but then once they got housed, it's also incredibly rewarding.
I can imagine, but at the outset, did you think you'd have them housed in, 5 weeks, 10 weeks, something like that?
Yeah, definitely. I thought it would come a lot quicker, and it just didn't. There's a housing shortage here. There's an affordable housing shortage here, and of course, we'd all like it to go quicker, and that's just not reality sometimes.
Brandy, how much follow-up is there? You mentioned that after 20 weeks, the first people you were co-piloting got into housing. And is there a long tail with that, too? Do you go back and check on people who've been in the program?
Jeff can speak better to that, but I'm still friends with my participants mm-hmm. that I originally was a co-pilot for. And eventually, for a lot of people, after you move away from that co-pilot-participant relationship, that's sort of how the relationship evolves.
Mm-hmm.
But we recently hired a housing support specialist who is going to be that follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to follow up with people once they're in housing and hopefully prevent those from sliding back into homelessness.
We are talking about the Uplift Eureka program, which pairs people up with co-pilots to try to get them into housing and other services for homeless people. You can join us on the exchange as we talk to Jeff Davis and Brandy Wheeler from the City of Eureka. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So Jeff, let's talk about the housing coordinator. Have you had to staff up to be able to take care of some of the aspects of Uplift Eureka?
Yeah, so this program's a little over a year old, and we really kind of started small and made sure we had the what we were doing worked, and then kind of scaling up since then. Recently we've been able to utilize multiple grants too. So most of this funding the funding for these services and these programs, it's mostly from grants. We were recipient of the Homeless Emergency Aid Program, the HEAP grant, and that really helped us out. That kind of gave us a shot in the arm as far as being able to offer housing, financial housing support and housing assistance. When we first started, we didn't have any kind of any grant funding to help folks get into housing, and that's really what took so long is saving up that money and get being able to locate a suitable residence and then moving in. And with this HEAP funding, we were able to kind of rapidly house folks. We followed the housing first principles, and then we were able to house I believe it was 25 folks into permanent housing within 6 weeks. So that those sort of numbers aren't sustainable, but when funding is available, we can do quite a bit. And then recently we received another grant, the California Emergency Shelter and Housing Grant, and that was what enabled us to hire on a housing support specialist. And then we also are going to be able to house quite a few more people once those additional funds become available.
What does a housing support specialist do within the realm of what we've already talked about with Brandy, where you got a real problem with housing shortage?
Yeah, so he does that position does quite a few different things. So for the folks that are those 25 people, and since then it's been a few more that are currently in those permanent housings, we provide supportive services. So we go out and we just kind of check up on them and just see how they're doing, seeing if they need any help with budgeting, seeing if they need help understanding what the landlord and tenant's rights and responsibilities are, just basic things as far as preventative maintenance on and house upkeep. Quite a few different things. Each person is unique, and we try to get a kind of a custom plan to support each and every one of those folks that we were able to find housing for. And then moving forward, we're working on a lot of different approaches for landlord incentives, for finding different either property management companies or private landowners that would be willing to help house some of our community members.
Certainly a lot of details to this. Brandy, when you were a co-pilot yourself, we talked about the 1 hour a week you meet with the person you're helping, you're co-piloting. But, I mean, how many hours away from the person were you working on the details of trying to get stuff for them?
So that's what's really funny is when I went into it, I expected it to be a lot bigger time commitment than it actually ended up being. So maybe a little bit of research, maybe going to actually pick up a housing application. A lot of our participants don't have transportation. So in the interim between meetings with my participant, I would maybe run out and run that errand and bring it back to the meeting the next week. I would say in addition to the 1 hour a week, maybe 15 minutes.
Oh, really? So not much at all then?
Not at all. Yeah.
So if people are thinking about doing this, they want to follow in your footsteps, Brandy, and become a co-pilot through Uplift Eureka, what kinds of things do they need to think about?
Well, a lot of our co-pilots come to us and say, we see all the homelessness, we want to help, but we don't know what to do. Maybe it's we don't have a lot of money to help donate, but we have time. And so that's why a lot of them end up coming to us.
Mm-hmm. And so you said 22 so far. I mean, how many more potentially could you use based on the needs of the City of Eureka and the people in it?
I'm not sure. We try to just grow and co-pilot recruit as we need people, and the program's sort of funny. Sometimes we have an abundance of participants, and then sometimes that participation goes down a little bit, and it just sort of waxes and wanes.
Mm-hmm. At the moment, which way is it going?
We're moving back up. We're getting busier.
Okay. Any particular thing that's making that happen?
You know, I'm not, we recently hired a homeless outreach worker. So we have someone actually going out and doing outreach in the streets. Mm-hmm. So that's helped to pick up participation.
Okay, so just knowing who's out there. Jeff, you mentioned the HEAP grant. Is that a HUD grant kind of thing?
Yeah, it's through the state, but we do have to follow a lot of the HUD regulations for that. And it was kind of a one-time one-time grant through the through California, and I believe the total was for the entire state it was about $550 million dollars, and so it was we're kind of waiting on a few other things. There's other grant opportunities in the future that we're kind of looking forward to, and it's kind of have to wait for those RFPs to be released, and yeah, we're always looking for different funding opportunities for different sponsorships, and just every little bit counts and every little bit helps, and this program really is making a difference, not just for our community members, but really the most vulnerable community members in our community.
Is that the intention then? You're trying to find a particular stripe of the homeless population that you're focusing upon?
No, not really. We're no barriers, so everyone's welcome. We hold weekly meetings at multiple different partnering organizations, and everyone is welcome. I mean, if we have a lot of different components too with this program, so it's, you're not required to do one thing or the other. It's really, you can kind of pick and choose what would benefit you the most. We have a job skills training program, we have housing assistance, we have the co-pilot program, we have pathway to paydays that we do every other month. So you can really just kind of pick and choose and customize and find a plan that works for you as an individual.
And I noticed some benefits back to the community. There was a reference on the website to a beautification program as part of Uplift.
Yeah, so that's so that is one of the components of our job skills training program. So we have a group of folks that meet up, and they are part of the job skills training program, which goes out and we offer different trainings. We offer kind of hands-on experience, and we go out and we do a lot of trash removal. We do trail waterfront trail maintenance. We go out and do graffiti removal, all sorts of things. And when we're out there, some of these folks really kind of have been on the streets for a while and kind of feel kind of separated from society or kind of disenfranchised, and as being out there and just something that's as simple as picking up trash on a trail and having community members come up and thank you for what you're doing and just really showing that appreciation, that really is such a confidence booster and really just a morale booster, and it's really kind of brings them back in, and it's just a simple thank you from a community member can just kind of make all the difference and really brighten someone's day and outlook in general.
So, Brandy, just about 30 seconds left. If somebody's interested in becoming a co-pilot for Uplift Eureka, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can give me a call at 707-441-4240, or they can visit empowereureka.org and click on Volunteer Opportunities and then Uplift Eureka and then Apply Now to fill out an interest form.
Okay, 707-441-4240 or empowereureka.org.
Yep.
Okay. Brandy Wheeler, Services Coordinator, Jeff Davis, Homeless Services Program Supervisor for the City of Eureka. Thank you both for joining us today to talk about the co-pilot program.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Great. Thank you.
Take care.